Now, Father, thank you for how we had that reading from Daniel chapter 6. And thank you for this very special book in the Old Testament. I had some amazing prophecies in there concerning the coming of your son, the first coming. But we also thank you. There's lots of really good lessons in regard to faith and you, of course. And we ask tonight that you'd help us to learn and to have a heart that's open and obedient to you as we consider your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so yeah, tonight we go back to looking at Daniel. And just to do a bit of a recap, Daniel sort of grew up around the 600 BC time. That's a long time ago, eh? And you'll remember that he was living in Jerusalem when the mighty King Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded Jerusalem. He didn't destroy it this time, but he conquered it. And what happened? He took some of the nobles of the land and the king, King Jehoiachin, as well as some of the young people who were, they looked intelligent, don't know what that means, and they also were handsome, and they were taken into captivity into the land of Babylon, or to the city of Babylon, and Daniel was one of them. And we read how Daniel, when he went over to Babylon, we find that he was really dedicated, you know, he served served the king of Babylon. And it's quite amazing to see him. Whether he was in Babylon or Jerusalem, he was this man who had a real heart to serve, and especially to serve God. Now, the reason why, one of the good reasons why we should be looking at the life of Daniel is because Daniel is actually upheld by God himself in regard to being a man of God, a person of God. And we're going to actually see that tonight. But it's found in that Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, where God tells the angel to say to Daniel, O man who is highly esteemed. So that's amazing, isn't it? Here is God declaring through his angel that Daniel was a man highly esteemed. And I read also a few weeks ago from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was written during the time of exile, during that time when Jerusalem had been destroyed. And even in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says these words. This is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, a little bit later on it says, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in its midst by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. Wow, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? So, Noah's mentioned, and Job's mentioned, and so is Daniel. Why is God mentioning those three? Because I reckon he knows that when those three pray, boy, am I listening to them because of their hearts. You see this incredible connection between the God of heaven and here on earth. God doesn't miss anything. He knows our hearts, and he knew that those three, if they were in in the midst of a city that was going to be destroyed because of their wickedness, God even knows that, you know, wow, they are such great prayers and intercessors. Yeah. So that's how we know that Daniel was quite an amazing man. And over the two Sunday nights a little while ago, we began considering the things that made Daniel a person highly esteemed in the sight of the Lord. And the first point that we brought out was that Daniel was a man of, who can remember, a man of purity. A man of purity. And there's really a good verse in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that captures that. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. And what that means is Daniel realized that the king's choice food, or the delicacies, and the king's wine, these were all had been offered up to idols. And he knew, wow, it would be a compromise if I ate this food and drank this wine, because it's really saying to everybody, I'm with you. I'm just one of you. And Daniel made up his mind not to do that. And that shows you from the start of Daniel that he was a man of purity. He sought to please God, not please himself. He sought to be a man of purity, not a man of compromise. And I just want to constantly relate this to us. We're called to be the same, aren't we? Jesus has saved us. You know, part of our response to the Lord Jesus is that we, even though we still fail, we try, with God's help, with the Spirit's help, we try to be people of purity. Because God wants little lights in this dark world. Jesus taught us that we are to be his light in this world. So we need to also make that important decision. Daniel, it says, made up his mind. So it's not something that just happens. You've got to make up your mind to do this. You've got to make up your mind to start saying no to stuff and saying yes to Jesus. You've got to make up your mind to be disciplined. You've got to make up your mind, you know, in all sorts of areas. All right, but the other thing that we looked at, another thing that made him an incredible man of God, is that he was a man of priority. That's it, man of priority. Maybe we need to specify more clearly. He was a man of right priority. And what we saw is that he was a man who had such a great high regard for God. And so as we see, as we read the story, we find out that when God gave him incredible understanding of the king's dreams, he was really quick to say, it wasn't for me. God enabled me to know this. It's all praise to him. And not only that, but he was also a man who not only gave the priority of God first, but others second. And I remember all those wise men. You know, those wise men, they're like magicians and conjurers and sorcerers. He even was willing to stand up for them, that their lives might be spared. Wow, that's thinking about other people. They're your enemies. And also King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4, when he had a really bad dream about how he's going to be brought right down, Daniel felt sorry for him. And he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, look, you got to repent. You got to get right with God. Otherwise, this is going to happen. What a heart. I reckon to most of us would be going, yeah, he's going down. He's knocked down the walls of Jerusalem. He deserves to go down. But not Daniel. And I want you to realize, these are the things that really impress God. Here is a man who puts me first and others second, and then himself last. And I remember learning it like this. I shared it a few weeks ago. J-O-Y, joy, stand for the Christian, Jesus, others, yourself. Has anyone else learned it like that? I remember learning probably, I don't know, youth group, Christian endeavor, all those things. So you want joy in your life? Live out that way. And of course, that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. So back to us. It's not just a Daniel thing. We know that we are meant to be a people who seek to glorify God in everything we do. Jesus put it like this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you as well. Matthew 6:33. And in regard to other people, probably one of the clearest passages for me is that one in Philippians chapter 2, where it says those incredible words, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And if you know where that passage is from, you'll then remember that it then goes immediately to the example of Jesus. That's where we have that profound passage upon him being equal with God and humbling himself to serve. Wow. Well, tonight, we're going to move on. Man of purity, man of priority. We're now going to look at him being a man of prayer. And that's another thing that God loves to see in us. When he sees a people who are praying, even one person praying, it impresses God. He knows what it's like here on earth. We get so distracted, there's so many things. We want to try and sort it out ourselves. How God loves to see a man or a woman who humbles themselves and they pray. And Daniel was one of those people. We ought to know that. Daniel was a man of incredible, intense prayer. He spent time with God. And so let's have a look at that tonight. Now, when we get to Daniel 6, we often think of that story as being all about the lion's den, but it's actually about prayer. That's the whole setting of it. But before we even get to Daniel 6, let's remember that we also have an example of Daniel praying in Daniel chapter 2. Do you remember what he did? The king gives this ridiculous order. Unless you can tell me the dream I've had and the interpretation of the dream, you're all dead men. Wow. And so what did Daniel do in relation to that death threat? And you know, the commander went out, he was about to start killing, and Daniel stopped him. And what did he do? He got some time, and he immediately went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, let's pray. Look at his response. What would you be doing? Let's run for the hills. I don't know what you do. But you know, like, he's a man of prayer. Crisis comes, let's pray. And they prayed, and I'm not going to go back to Daniel 2, we looked at that before, but man, God just answered that prayer spectacularly. And that's because he prayed. But let's now turn to Daniel chapter 6, and let's have a look at this great story. Okay, Daniel chapter 6. Alright, so there's a few great things to learn about Daniel in this passage, so I won't just gloss over it. I love chapter 6, verse 4. Right, let's bit of background. Daniel is such a great servant of the Lord, but he's a great servant in terms of serving his king and all those sort of things. And like, he is just such a great servant that obviously the king, who's the boss there, goes, I like this guy, I want to promote him. And what happens when that happens? Well, people get jealous. And he had a whole lot of people really jealous of him. And besides that, he's a foreigner. He's a Jewish man. How on earth should he be elevated? Why should he be elevated? I can imagine that all happening. But have a look, you know. They're trying to find out a way to bring him down. And it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, then the commissioners and satraps, these are all these other leaders in the country, began trying to find grounds of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Oh, that we might have a whole lot of people in government like that. When you start thinking about this. Like, we live in a day when it's actually the other way around. There's so much stuff going on. I come to hear about this. But look at Daniel. Look at his heart. And I've got to say, we ought to know that this is how a Christian is meant to live too. We, you know, it says in Colossians that when we are serving our bosses, we are to serve. It says very clearly we are to serve the Lord God, number one. And that will make us good servants. So look at Daniel, eh? They couldn't find any grounds to accuse him. There was nothing. He wasn't doing any dodgy tax returns. He wasn't, speeding in his car. I know they never had those things then, but you know, he's just doing the right thing because he knows he's answerable to God. He's living this life that we ought to live. So what are they going to do? Give up? No, they're not going to give up. His accusers. In verse 5 it says, then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Wow. Let's go get him on religious grounds. All right. I reckon they all knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that Daniel was a prayer. And that's what they're going to get him on. They all knew he prayed. So that's what we find out in verses 6 and 7. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. Buttering up the king. Notice how they speak. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Listen to their smooth speech. They got a plan up their sleeve. They want to take Daniel down. And petition means pray. If you pray to anyone but to you, O king, then you're in the lion's den. So they're hoping that, they're going to catch Daniel. Alright, we'll keep reading. And so it says, now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. We still use that phrase today. I love some of the biblical phrases that we use. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, that means you can't change it. Comes right back to 600 BC. Alright. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction, because he had no idea what they really were doing. Okay. So what would you do? Daniel would have heard about this law. What are you going to do, eh? I've thought about this, like I've thought, well, the injunction is declared, you can't pray to anybody but to the king. Can't pray to your God. Can't pray to the true and living God. Daniel couldn't pray to the true and living God without getting in trouble. So, you know, you could reason here. You go, well, what can we do here? Don't want to be thrown into the lion's den, so I'll have a 30-day fast in regard to prayer. What do you reckon of that? Not good? Or I'll just pray secretly. That's okay, isn't it? That's good. All right, can you imagine what you'd be thinking? You don't want, who likes lions? Who wants to be thrown into a lion's den? There'd be a lot of pressure on us to come up with some excuses. And I'm not sure what I would be doing. I'd be praying, Lord, help me. Because we do. It's easy to become frightened and fearful and cave in. But look what happens. Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew, he knew, right? Clear as day, he knew that the document was signed. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He just prayed. And he prayed publicly. He prayed just like he used to pray. In the attic, overlooking, everyone can see you. What's he doing? Does he think their threat's just not going to happen? Well, we know in the story it was serious. Wow, he prayed. And even before I go on, I just got to stop there and look. Look at the wonderful things we learn here about prayer. Just in one verse. What are some of the things that we learn? We learn that he opened the windows of his home upstairs and he prayed towards Jerusalem. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to us today. We don't have to line ourselves up to Jerusalem. By the way, a Jewish synagogue does. They have their synagogues lined up to Jerusalem, and even their sacred scriptures, the Torah, is pointed in a certain direction. We don't do anything like that. But there is something we do. We have to be lined up in our prayer so that our prayer is through Jesus. It's not the compass direction, it's the person of Jesus. So that's something we've got to remember. We need to pray through him. And that's because he's opened the door for us to come before our Father. And to have, you know, the words in the Bible, especially when we get to the part in Hebrews, fantastic words about the boldness, the confidence we have in approaching the throne through Jesus. Another thing I pick up here is his humility. It says that he knelt on his knees. And even that challenges me because I don't always do that. And I think of how, it's not a matter of you have to do it, it's a matter of your heart. It's important that we have, what's kneeling do? It's a picture of humility, reverence before God. You know, it's respect to him. That's how Daniel prayed. Let me remind you, Daniel is a man who was highly esteemed. God's seeing all this. He sees Daniel's heart. Daniel prays towards Jerusalem. He remembers that's where the presence of God was. We pray through Jesus. We remember that's how we get to the presence of God. He prayed on his knees. He humbled himself. That's how we're meant to be praying. Humble. Not just waltzing into God's presence and treating God with some contempt. Not only that, he prayed 3 times a day. And let me qualify that. That means 3 set times a day. Not like, I know we can pray on the run. You can pray in the car. Keep your eyes open though. You know, you can pray all over the place. But when it says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, that means he prayed on his own, without any distraction, just before him and God. How often do we do that? Hopefully we're doing it at least once a day, but it's something that we should be doing regularly. That's really important. It's telling God, you know, in the busyness of our lives, I count it a real privilege to stop it all and just have time with you, Lord. That's a very special thing. Another thing I learned about his prayer. He prayed and it said he gave thanks before his God. Wow. So like what I pick up from there is, I don't know about you, but it's so easy to come to God with all our requests. Like, here it is, and we often call it the shopping list. Boom! I need this sorted out. Dun, 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 dun. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you know, like, I know we can. We are. We are to pour our heart out to God and bring our requests to him. But it must be so lovely when God actually hears thank yous. When he hears adoration from our heart. Jesus taught us that. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed, that's an expression of praise and worship, hallowed be your name. And that's how we're meant to be praying too. Daniel's got it all worked out already, even before Jesus came. How can that be? And Jesus has come, and we often are not, haven't got it worked out. But look at his prayer. He prayed with thanksgiving. So this is how he was. And I just can't help but picture him in that attic window, praying on his knees, praying like he's always prayed before, unaffected by the law that had been proclaimed. And he's praying to God because it shows you, doesn't it? This is the most important thing that I do. And no one's going to stop me. Right, let's keep reading. So then after that, it says in verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. They knew they'd find him, I reckon. Guaranteed. So what happens? Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Now the king still doesn't understand what's going on, but he will now. 13. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah. See the Judah thing coming in now? The foreigner. Pays no attention to you, O king, or to sign the injunction, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. And then we'll keep reading. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. Why was he deeply distressed? Yeah, he liked Daniel. He had a regard for Daniel. He knew what had happened. They tricked him. And he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Wow, this is a king. So impressed by, not only is God impressed by Daniel, but this king is impressed by Daniel. And this king is humbling himself to do everything he can to rescue Daniel. Verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. Well, what a statement. I reckon things were happening in Darius's life. Wow. All because, don't forget how this happens, the same as Nebuchadnezzar, all because of a man called Daniel, who not only is honouring God, but has having great influence upon other people. Pointing them to God as well. Because he's not just the God of Daniel, this great God is the God of all people who would seek him. Verse 17, a stone was brought, and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Wow, so he's really upset and sad. But look at this. This is amazing, this story. 19, then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, can you imagine this, eh? Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And there's a response. You fall over backwards, wouldn't you? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I've committed no crime. Wow, this is incredible, this story. Can you imagine Darius now? He would be completely impressed by the true and living God, the God of Daniel. And I'm sure he was another man who was converted, as Nebuchadnezzar was, because of Daniel's life. And I can't help but think of how we read about prayers, a man of prayer. I'm sure that Daniel would have been praying in the lion's den and talking to God about God's pussycats over there. I don't know. But you know, like, I can just imagine Daniel and God talking, and like, God has got it all worked out. And he doesn't have to have any fear. And wow, the king hears that response. Alright. I'm trying to make you laugh. I don't know. But it's amazing, isn't it? And of course, God is hearing Daniel, and it says God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. So God's answering prayer, immediate prayer, for Daniel to be spared. Now, the next part of the story is not too good. There's no little kids here? All right. So it says here, not quite yet. I better read 23 first. And the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. That is to say, not even a bite mark. 24, the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children and their wives, into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. I know that's pretty full on, but it just showed you, if anybody wants to sort of modify the story and think that the lions were not very hungry, that's why Daniel wasn't eaten, it's rubbish. All right? Those lions were really hungry. And as we can see with what happened with Daniel's enemies. And then, that's not the end of the story either. Then we read some magnificent words in 25 to 27. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." Remember what's being said here. The Medes and Persians, they worship all these gods. This is really outstanding. There's all these gods, and now the king is saying, the God of Daniel, he's the one. Listen to it. "For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who also has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Wow, this guy, this king, has thrown away all his gods, and he is now on track following the God of Daniel. And he is proclaiming this through all the kingdoms, all his kingdom. And this story of Daniel in the lion's den actually ended up being spread through the land. So that's why you can go to China. I mentioned this before, to a city called, oh, I just forgot it, Xi'an. And you'll see on iron stylus big things, some of these records of what was coming from the west to the east about the God of heaven. Got to know the God of heaven. God has his way of broadcasting his glory and who he is to the whole world. Wow. And all because God knew there was a man called Daniel, who I highly esteem. He's a man of purity. A man of purpose, or priority I mean, and a man of prayer. Daniel. Wow. So lots of things to learn from the story of Daniel. So did it all end there? Well, no, because we read another time when he prayed. So let's turn now to Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel chapter 9. You just thought that the only time he prayed was in Daniel 6. No, he's praying in Daniel chapter 9. Now, this is really intriguing. Daniel, he reads the Bible. Of course you should. He's reading his Bible, and he's reading through a book in his Bible, never had the New Testament. He's reading through the Old Testament, and he's reading through the book of, who knows what book it might have been, Jeremiah. He's reading through the book of Jeremiah. He studies the book of Jeremiah. He reads from the book of Jeremiah, that the exile will be for 70 years. It's up. 70 years are up. Time to talk to God about this. And so in Daniel 9, we have Daniel also praying. Again, he prayed all the time, but now he's praying specifically about God. The exile has come to an end. But it's interesting what Daniel says in his prayer. I want you to, we'll go through this because there's so much to learn here in this prayer of Daniel. So Daniel understands God's will, what he's going to do. Look at this beautiful prayer. Daniel chapter 9, I'll start at verse 4. "I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Are you blown away by that? Look how he starts. He's reminding himself of why we're even in exile. And he's just broken. He's even using the word we, even though he's a righteous man, and no righteous man is perfect. He includes himself. We have sinned. He humbles himself. Lord, we as a people, look at his heart. Just so broken and honest. Like, Lord, we were in exile because of what we've done. How we turned our backs on you. How we have sinned against you. That's how he starts his prayer. Not just saying, Lord, it's time for us to go back home. He's conscious of what the people had done. Let me keep reading. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. And just to let you know, Daniel, before he was exiled, was in Jerusalem, and he would have heard the prophet Jeremiah proclaiming and prophesying. Just to let you know that. That's incredible, because Daniel was only a young man, so he would have heard this godly man preaching his heart out, and the people not listening, the people blocking their ears, the people being so adamant in turning away from God and following the other gods. So I can only imagine him just feeling just that horrible load because of what the people had done against God. But look at verse 7. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. All right, let me now go to verse 15. I won't read all the prayer. Verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. What a prayer. What an incredible prayer. I'm so glad this prayer is recorded in the Bible. Who of us prays like that? Who of us senses that brokenness that we should have? And that appeal to God's great compassion, and to appeal that for his name's sake, not for our merit, but for his name's sake, he might forgive and restore us. There's so much to learn in Daniel's prayer. Was he a prayer? He sure was. Look at his prayer. No wonder God was so impressed. And that's where we have this next section. I'm going to read Daniel chapter 9, 20 to 23. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. Gabriel. We know that name. That's the angel, the mighty angel, who came and spoke to Mary. Wow. Here he is here. He's one of the big angels, because there is a hierarchy with the angels. And he's come to Daniel. And verse 22 says, he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. There it is. You are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. And Daniel gets a vision and he gets to see God is pleased to give to Daniel the plan of God. That's right. The answering about those 7 years of exile coming to an end and what God's going to do, and also the coming of Jesus. Daniel gets to hear all these amazing things. But what do you reckon, eh? Gabriel comes and tells Daniel, O man highly esteemed. And, you know, I guess when we think about this, you know, is that because Daniel, like, he was just a cut above the rest of us? Or because he was a Jewish man, or he was just lucky? No. We know how God thinks. We are privileged to understand what pleases God. It goes right back to those things. He was a man of purity, a man of priority, and a man of prayer, which any one of us can also seek after. The reality is, we often don't. We're so inconsistent, including myself. But that's the person that God is looking for. It's got that language, hasn't it, in the Bible. God's eyes range back and forth throughout the whole earth. Seeing us all. Even his children. Even us who call ourselves Christians. And all these things are written. Remember what Paul says. All these things are written down for our benefit. That's in Corinthians. So that we can learn, even from Daniel, we can learn from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. We can learn what it looks like for us to be people truly of faith, people who please God. And we all know, I hope we all know, this has got nothing to do with pleasing God so that we get to heaven. We're saved by God's gift. We're already saved. But the whole thing of pleasing Him is because we love Him, because of what He's done for us. So, that's what happened. And you know what, before we finish tonight, there's another little interesting thing in Daniel chapter 10. A little bit of an insight about what's going on when we pray. Let me pick it up in verses 11 to 14 of Daniel chapter 10. There's this incredible being who Daniel sees, and this being, he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Wow. Do you sometimes wonder if God hears you? This is telling us, even if the answer hasn't come yet, God's heard your prayer. The question is, are we willing to wait on the Lord? And then this thing even has a whole lot of spiritual warfare stuff in. Let's read the next two verses. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. What is going on? This is a pretty rare verse that helps you realize that, Daniel's getting his prayer, but it didn't come straight away because this person who brought the answer to Daniel was being held up because there was some spiritual warfare going on over here. Man alive. Just incredible, isn't it? Like, we don't have eyes to see the spiritual realm in all its fullness and all the things that are happening, but we can be sure of this. God hears our prayers. So be good at praying. Learn to pray well. Pray humbly. Pray through Jesus. Pray set times during the day. Humble yourself. Be thankful in your prayer. Pray. Be broken in prayer. Confess the sins of your own sins, the sins of the people, the sins of the church. Confess and make sure that everything we pray for is for the glory of God, not for our glory. Not for our sake, O Lord, but for your sake. Not according to our merits, but according to your great name. That's how we're meant to pray. And Jesus was the greatest teacher of that if we go into the New Testament. Our Father, thank you for the time we've spent looking at the wonderful story of Daniel. Thank you for how it's just beautiful to go through Daniel's life and to see what a great man he was. Not great because he was some superstar, but because he was a man who loved you. He believed in you with all his heart. And because of that, he chose to live a life of purity and priority and a life of prayer. There's so much to learn from Daniel. Thank you for, in your word, we have records of people like Daniel. We've also got records of people who are really bad and blow it badly. Thank you for how we can learn from these different ones. Thank you for prayer, even now. So often we can just take it all for granted that you're the great God sitting upon your awesome throne. And even though it feels at times you're so far away, it's not true at all. You are near, you hear us, you see our heart, you love to hear us talk to you. Help us to learn to pray better, to pour our heart out to you, to express our thanks to you, to be broken about our sin, to care for people about us. Help us, Father, to learn to be good prayers, to be people who find our closet, to find that place where we can go to and talk to you alone. Thank you for all the teaching we have in your word about prayer. Sorry, Lord, for the way that we have often not acted on our faith and not prayed, for the times when we have done it on our own without consulting you, where we have been quick to turn to other things and last of all turn to you. Lord, we're so sorry for the way we behave at times. We ask that you would help us to be people who put you first and pray to you, consult you before anything else. Thank you for each other here. Please help us in our life. Lord, we muck it up, but thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the time we had earlier remembering Jesus' death for us. Thank you for how our sins are covered. Thank you for how we come together to encourage one another. And we thank you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.